Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management, and in the studio is Production Coordinator Amy Anderson. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Greg. And Adam Coons, back from a long weekend. Mm-hmm. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Good. Welcome, you guys. We got a lot to cover today. We are halfway through the quarter, so this is going to be every, you know, we do this every year, and it's like, what does this look like going into the end of the year? And so far, I mean, this has been, you couldn't ask for a better year in equities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's kind of summarize in a nutshell where we think we are. The economy is recovering from the impairment caused by the pandemic. So we've saw first and second quarter growth come in at 6.3 and then 6.5. I mean, by U.S. standards, that's very, very strong growth. Yeah. But we're coming from impaired levels because of COVID, and the economy is really not fully recovered. So leading up to this midpoint in this third quarter, the sectors that include education, air travel, hospitality, restaurants, entertainment, sporting events, they're still trying to figure out how to reopen to keep customers safe. And then bam, here comes the COVID variant.
Yep.
So especially if you have kids going back to school, this is kind of a jittery time, because the statistics are starting to mirror last year, where new cases are as high as they were back in November.
Yep.
Where, even though it's hotter than blazes outside right now, you know, we go into September, October, it starts to get into that cooler season. People go indoors, and then you get into Thanksgiving where people gather, and it has the potential to really spread again. So that's the concern, is that impacts the reopening of the economy in a way that impairs growth going forward and forces the Fed's hand again. And so let's talk about the Fed here a second, because as we're going through this reopening, the Fed has injected massive stimulus into the economy to support it during COVID. But remember, you go back to the financial crisis, the Fed put massive stimulus through QE1, QE2, and QE3. Following the financial crisis. And then in 2013, Bernanke started to talk about tapering.
Yep.
And then the markets thought that the Fed was going to go too quickly, and stocks sold off, bond yields rose sharply, and the Fed kind of lost control of the narrative for a little while. That became the taper tantrum. Chairman Powell, this last week started the narrative of we're going to move slowly to withdraw our stimulus. Now, the interesting thing is when you look back of withdrawing the stimulus that Bernanke tried, the the pandemic was a reset. They never were able to pull any of the stimulus.
Right.
They just stopped buying bonds. And then the push towards higher interest rates collapsed because they pushed rates down to zero. And then after the start of the pandemic, have added $2 trillion to the portfolio, which is now over $8 trillion.
Yep.
During the financial crisis, I think they built a portfolio of about $4.5 trillion.
That's
so
right.
It's kind of scratching your head saying, okay, now where are we? This is one big, huge experiment. So we're kind of at this crossroads with if we have to go again with an impaired economy and these sectors that are not able to open like sporting events this fall, the football season, it's going to be a real challenge for economic growth, which is our baseline thesis, is we still continue to see a reopening. At the same time, we're looking at equity valuations that are extremely elevated.
Yes.
So I think the S&P now trades on a trailing 12-month basis. I think we're looking at something close to 34 times earnings.
That's right, yep.
So you go back in history and you look at that, and that's, I mean, periods when monetary stimulus is in the market, multiples get extended.
Sure.
So this whole thing, we want to bet with the Fed. But once the safety net is pulled back, it's going to be a challenge for these markets. So the Fed's saying we're going to pull the safety net back. But that, when we went through the taper tantrum, that was a four-year process. It went from 2013 all the way to 2019. So it's going to be a long, long road. And during that period of time, we're going to see the economy slow down.
Yep.
So that's going to be the challenge. So how do you invest? And this is going to be a challenge heading into the end of the year because we're kind of at that precedent. So that's kind of the backdrop. We're still fully invested in our portfolios. However, we're going to talk about this here in a second. We built a safety cushion that I think we've got between 2.5% and 5% cash, which normally we don't run in most of our SMAs. But Adam, what on the equity side, what are you seeing?
Well, a few things. Obviously, last week, the S&P kind of had its first full week of declines in quite a while. But still, the S&P 500 is up over 18% year to date. But really is led by energy continuing to decline. So on a three-month basis, energy is down 12%. Not seeing that through the pump, though, even though oil prices are down. I paid $4 a gallon. But we had earnings last week on the consumer side, which conflicted the consumer sentiment survey data we got. But Home Depot, Walmart, Lowe's all reported. Yeah. Very strong earnings out of all three.
But Walmart went down.
Yeah, the stock went down, but you know, overall, it's one of those kind of.
It was a great quarter.
Yeah, so I think what, and this is what we're running into in this earnings season, is the bar was set a little higher.
Yeah.
For some of these companies, and then what we're seeing is the guidance is kind of hurting a lot of companies, and so you know we saw that out of Amazon. That was a big reason why it fell. But going into initially, what we thought was everything's going to be reopening. Back to school season,
yep.
Holiday season, people are going to be shopping, spending that extra savings money that they have.
It didn't come through.
Yeah, and it's not coming through, like I said, the guidance numbers. And I think the expectations is we're going to see continued headwinds. And part of the issue is the supply chain. So if you're paying attention, you know, Southeast Asia is going backwards. And so you're seeing a lot of factories begin to shut down again with COVID cases. And so that could lock up supply chain. So even once again, we're going to re-enter that phase where consumers want to spend money, but maybe they can't even get
right.
The products.
So, and Toyota announced a shutdown last week, and that's part of it is the chip shortage.
Yep.
It's going to affect the auto industry.
Yeah. So the chip shortage is continuing to affect because once again, they're shutting down or limited capacity out of these factories due to increased cases. So
don't you think, though, the risks, so you were talking about retail, and we'll get back to that, but the risks to the downside for stocks is greater because, I mean, the margins are amazing, but we still haven't really fully adjusted for rising labor costs and the supply chain issue.
Right. So, yeah, basically we have an issue where supply chains lock up, so your costs are going to go up. And then, yes, the employment piece is, I mean, it's just labor force participation is still historically low. Job openings are at all-time highs. And so if you've got this friction, it seems that the only thing that's getting in the way is that people need to be paid more in order to be incentivized to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you see it across, you know, like I said, traveling in the airports, you can tell that there's just not enough workers. Everything takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant industry continues to struggle to find servers.
Yeah.
So it's just that service sector labor force just isn't coming back yet.
There's a couple restaurants where when we've called to do carryout, they've told us that it's going to be long. We've got trouble in the kitchen kind of thing. It's like, well, thanks for giving me a heads up.
But in 16 days, a lot of this unemployment benefits go away.
Okay.
So we're going to see, you know, how that begins to flow through labor numbers in the coming months.
Well, this is going to be the issue too, because the in-person school has helped take relief off the daycare issue.
Yes.
So if we can't get kids back into the classroom and sustain it into the fall, if we have to go remote again, it's gonna that's the piece on the labor force. I think that hurts a lot is the daycare part of it.
But I mean, you're even seeing schools are having a hard time finding enough employees, and that's, you know, sanitation workers,
right?
Bus drivers. I mean, you know, my daughter started kindergarten this year at Carmel, and Carmel has such a shortage of bus drivers who have to do two routes. So
yeah, they've offered teachers bonuses to do bus.
It's It's crazy.
Once a year, my wife looks at the want ads like that, and she goes, I think I want to be a bus driver.
No, you don't. No,
please don't.
So these are just the continued, just the friction in the market. And like you said, is that I don't think the equity markets are discounting that properly yet.
So the stocks that we've done very well with are a lot of those internet stocks that have were big boons during the pandemic, and that included Facebook, Alphabet, Amazon, Microsoft.
Yep,
you go right down the list. Now, we weren't big holders of the Zoom, the Netflix.
Yeah.
But we caught enough of the of that that stay at home that
yeah.
But it really, it's the business model that works. It's these the ability to adjust fees to without. You know, without losing subscribers is to grow revenue. These are amazing business models. So we have not really, other than normalizing position sizes, we have not abandoned these names in the portfolio. But we're looking for ideas away from it. And it's been hard because of the valuations are so high.
It's very hard. You know, obviously we've begun to look outside the U.S. to China, but obviously that adds volatility and some risk to portfolios as well. So just...
Yeah.
Mitigating that position sizing.
Yeah. That's a whole different.
Yes, it is.
ball of yarn. All right. So what's on the docket this week? We talked about retail a little bit. And does that change anything that we're doing in the portfolios, the earnings releases last week?
So, I mean, it comes back to the idea generation and the difficulty there. You know, we were discussing Uber last week, and that fits in that discretionary sector. But that's just a difficult name to get our heads around. I looked through it this weekend and I'm struggling with.
Especially with what California's doing.
Yeah. Right now I think it's looking for opportunities, but seemingly the opportunity set seems to be the same. It's Microsoft, Alphabet. And if those names aren't working, then it's looking outside. Like I said, Tencent, Alibaba, Baidu are some names that we're looking at and we have added to the focus growth portfolios, but have been reluctant to do that across some of the other portfolios that are lower volatility. So it's, I think a little bit is stay the course. We're continuing to be overweight technology and communication services. And then we've started to move underweight in financials, and that's kind of on the back of heightened volatility is going to hurt investment banking. It's going to hurt the wealth management division. And obviously the curve has been flattening significantly with the Fed narrative of increasing short-term rates. So that's where we're moving towards an underweight, predominantly because of banks.
Yeah. And I was looking at the price charts too. So there's a couple companies that have hit 52 week highs for us. So Johnson & Johnson, Zoetis, and Thermo Fisher. Thermo Fisher has been just an amazing, company from a performance standpoint. So as these companies, especially in this environment, hitting their, 52 week highs, we're scratching our heads saying, okay, so now. The thesis is playing out.
Right. Now what?
Now what do you do?
Yeah.
Right. So this is this whole thing about just finding great companies with great market leadership and great margins and earnings, revenue growth.
Yep.
And so keep on going. All right. What else do you have?
Not much. I think your eyes are going to be on Jackson Hole. That's going to probably be the.
Yeah. And we can pick this up next week, but we really should talk about the five stocks that we want to own heading into the tail end of the quarter, and then ways for investors to earn income in this marketplace. And I wish we had more to report on this, but the toolkit is pretty limited, right? Because bonds yield, you know, the U.S. Treasury is 133 on the
125 right now
on the 10-year, 125 on the 10-year, and the yield on dividend stocks. We're over 2% still, right?
Over 2%, but well under 3.
Yeah. And so it's a limited basket. I mean, we can look at preferred stocks. So we'll talk about what preferred stocks can yield. That's a whole different ball of wax, though.
Yes,
and then on the bond side, there's structured securities tend to have higher yields, but that has more of an institutional face to it. But there's ways for retail investors to capture that. And then there's leverage, and that's the closed-end fund. So a closed-end fund, unlike a mutual fund, a closed-end fund can lever its net assets up to 50%. And I think the industry generally does, Ryan, you know, 33%.
Yeah.
But when interest rates are coming down and staying low, it is a tremendous benefit from an income standpoint because of the leverage. But when interest rates go up, that's a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
and it can hurt. So with that, I think that's pretty much what we have today. It's kind of a sobering look as we head into the second half of the year. I do want to make one comment, though, Adam. So you saw the PSN awards from last week.
Yep.
So our ultra short and our tactical fixed income were both award winners. That's top 10 in the country for this second quarter. And then the large cap equity and the focus growth equity were also award winners. So in spite of our just obsessing over what to do, something's working. But like I always say, a stop clock is right twice a day. So now what are you going to do? All right. With that, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.